Welcome everyone to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 10 in the NFL. I am one of your hosts, Jimmy Traina, joined as always by Gary Gramling and Mitch Goldich. I was 2-3 in my best bets last week, under 500. Not great. Gary, how did you do?
No, not a great week. I went 2-2, and I was, I guess, perfectly satisfied with that 2-2. And I hate the board this week. I don't know what else to say about it. Just a tough board.
I only have three best bets as of now, too, myself. Mitch, how did you do last week?
I did terribly, as you probably knew when you teed me up with that question. thanks for putting it that way. No, I went 1-3. My worst week of the season. Some of these I was just wrong about. We talked the stupid Pittsburgh game. We talked about how we know that every year the Steelers have a game like this where they play down to their competition, and then that was a nail biter. Took the Patriots -7, and then that one came down. They won by a field goal at the end against the stupid Jets. Tough week for me. I'm looking at my season numbers. It's just like, you know, I'm still doing okay. I'm 500, but it's just so deflating to just like slowly work your way up and then see it all come crashing down.
We'll see if we could bounce back this week. 5 1 o'clock games, 6 4 o'clock games because of the Masters, and we will go through the board right now. We start off with the Eagles giving 3.5 points at the Giants. Total here is 44.5. Gary.
Yeah, I'm backing away from this one just because I want to see what the Eagles are going to be coming off the bye week and whether, I mean, I don't know if Carson Wentz just needed like a mental reset at this point. It just doesn't make sense how erratic and just mistake prone he's been so far this year. So, you know, they get a little bit healthier. They get the week off. I have a feeling they're going to come back better, and I do lean Eagles in this game, but look, Giants defense has played well the last couple of weeks. You know, and on top of that, this is I'm never crazy about road favorites in division games. So for a couple of reasons, I back away from this one, but I'd lean Eagles.
Mitch.
Yeah, well, you know, I am crazy about road favorites much of the time. I will say, I'm surprised, Jimmy, you didn't say anything off the top. We are making our YouTube debut here on the podcast, so now people can see. Everyone who's been a longtime listener knows I'm an Eagles fan. You can see I'm drinking tea out of my Philly special mug here today. I have all kinds of Philly bias. And as an Eagles fan, I can tell you, beware of the Giants here. Doug Peterson has won 8 straight games against the Giants. His only loss to them was his first game against them. But it doesn't matter how bad the Giants are. They always play the Eagles tough. There was that Thursday night game earlier this season that no one paid attention to because it was during the debate. There was the game last year the Eagles were down 17-3 and they won in overtime. I think that was the game Eli played, and that might have been his last start ever, or maybe he played the following week. They had a 3-point game the year before that. The year the Eagles went 13-3 and won the Super Bowl, they beat the Giants by 3 and by 5. So the Eagles are getting healthier. I think we all expect them to win the division. But even as everyone's talking about them, you still have to worry about the Giants. So it's a stay away from me because I don't want to bet against the Eagles here. But, you know, the Giants, they've been pretty competitive in a lot of their losses, as I've said a few times on this podcast here. So I kind of lean Giants, even though I think the Eagles will win the game. You know, getting the hook more than a field goal there is nice if you want to bet the Giants. But definitely a stay away from me. That's a long-winded way to tell you I'm staying away.
The Giants are 6-3 this year against the spread, but I like the over in this game. I think the Giants are playing a little bit better on offense. I don't have any respect for the Eagles' defense. I think the Eagles can put points on the board. 44.5 this year is a low total in the NFL. So I like the over in that game with the Giants playing better on offense, a little more, you know, a little healthier with Evan Ingram and Shepard, and if they could ever get Golden Tate straightened out, they have weapons on offense. So I like the over in that one. Next game is in Cleveland, the Browns, 3.5-point favorites at home against the Texans. The total here is 49. Mitch.
All right, I think you guys probably know where I'm going on this one. I am the last person on earth who still desperately wants to believe in the Texans. And I don't know why. I picked them straight up to win in our MMQB straight up pick 'em, which, again, running bit on this show that I like to reference. I don't know why. I just assume that because now we're on YouTube, we have this massive new audience. So now when I bring something up, I feel like I have to tell people, like, oh, this is a thing that we talk about. I don't know. Do people watch? I don't watch podcasts on YouTube. I listen to them at 1.5 speed. Anyway, hello, YouTube. Good to see you. I'm a sucker for the Texans. That's what I'm now telling our YouTube watchers. We all know their schedule was really brutal. I mean, terrible, the you know, early in the season, especially the first three games, but even after that. But you look up, this is a team that you look up at the end of the year, they're in the mix every year. They've been in the playoffs a bunch. They still have Deshaun Watson. So to me, this could easily be like a situation like the Falcons last year, where they get off to a very slow start and then they win some games at the end of the season. I'm not saying that they're going to go to the playoffs, but you know, I think the Falcons last year finished 7-9, and I don't know, the Texans, they're going to win some games, get to 6 or 7 wins. The Browns are coming off a bye. Now, one thing, the big story here is that Nick Chubb could be back. We don't know officially if he'll be back. If he is, obviously, I like them a lot more. Cleveland, their offense just looked much better earlier in the season. And Houston, I'm looking, they are 28th in rushing defense DVOA. So obviously that would be a big problem. But even if he's back, there's no guarantee that he's going to get a full workload or that he's going to be healthy. You know, he might be shaking the rust off or be on limited carries or something like that. So, you know, sometimes you just have to believe in a team, and I just want to feel like the Texans can win a game here. And they're getting 3.5. That's the other big thing. They don't have to win the game outright. You know, this game, I could see it being a toss-up. I could see the Browns winning and me looking very stupid, but I could see this coming down to a field goal at the end. And if that's the case, you know, they don't have to win. I'm not saying Texans money line. I'm taking Texans plus 3.5.
Gary?
No, I like the Texans too. To be honest, I was hoping this line would be like more like 4.5 or 5 or something like that, and then I'd feel good about best betting Houston here. I do think these are two evenly matched teams. We saw last week, I mean, look, I know I had Houston as a best bet going down to Jacksonville, a team that they've blown out a couple of times. It was just kind of a reminder. I mean, the Texans are horrible defensively. They're so bad defensively, and the Browns, they scheme it up well. If they don't fall behind in games and they can stay with what they want to do, they're usually fine offensively. So for that reason, I think that 3.5 number is pretty good right here. So I'm going to back away from this one.
Yeah, this is a stay away from me. I don't believe in the Texans at all. I think they're really horrible. And but, you know, Baker was on that COVID list. I don't think he had it. I think someone he knew had it. And I don't know, it's not what you need in the middle of a week. Chubb back, though, makes me really want to maybe pick Cleveland, because when they have the Chubb-Hunt tandem going, as they did earlier in the season, they're pretty unstoppable. And like Gary said, against a terrible Texans defense, that could be a big offensive day for the Browns. But I hate that hook there on the 3.5. So I would lean Cleveland, but stay away. Next game, the Dolphins giving 2.5 points at home to the Chargers. Total here 48.5. Gary.
Yeah, I was kind of ready to step off the Dolphins bandwagon here, and I just, this line is too low to me. I know everyone wants to get on board with the Chargers. They've seen how they've lost games this year, and the fact that they lost all those they lost Breeze and Brady on last second stuff, and they keep on losing on last second stuff, and that's all well and good, but this line is pretty disrespectful for the for the Dolphins right here. Mid-season tradition, I broke out the spreadsheet. I did the Red Zone Lux spreadsheet. Red Zone, as I preach all the time, it is too small a sample size and too volatile, not only game to game, but year to year, to really look at a team and say, oh, they're great in the red zone, they're going to keep being great in the red zone. It usually is a pretty random indicator here, but obviously it's such a big difference in a game, whether you're getting 7 points or 3 points on a trip, or 7 points or 0 points, or whatever it might be. And so if you take away that sort of red zone luck factor, the Dolphins in point differential are actually 6th in the league right now, and the Chargers are still sitting at 18. DVOA, you have a similar split. I think the Dolphins are at 10 right now in overall DVOA, and the Chargers are down at 19. So I don't. The Chargers have been unlucky. Justin Herbert's really good, and I actually kind of like this matchup as far as the Chargers go. If they can get that pass rush going, I think Tua is going to be susceptible to teams that really have a true four-man pass rush like the Chargers had. But again, I hate the board this week, but I saw this number, and it's too low. Dolphins should be getting like 4 or 5 points in this game.
Mitch?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. It's funny, you started saying the everyone wants to get on board with the Chargers, and I think that's true every year in August and September. Right now, it feels like everyone wants to get on board with the Dolphins. I was stunned. Like, we did the MMQB Power Rankings poll this week. I think they were number 10, And it's just like amazing. And you know, they're awesome. It's a great story. Everyone's been impressed with Brian Flores and what he's done, and give him credit. It was a gutsy call going to Tua. The first game he wasn't great. He didn't have to be. And then he was a lot better in week two against Arizona. But it just feels like everyone's on this Dolphins bandwagon. Man, I don't know. I mean, it's the Chargers are a team that make me want to stay away. A lot of times when I, you know, when I see a line that's under a field goal, it's like, I just ignore it. Like, if you think a team's going to win, don't worry about a spread. With the Chargers, it's different because they can easily lose a game by 1 point or 2 points, in which case they would cover this. They're like the only team in the league. And I guess the Falcons and Lions are in there where you look at them and you're like, this is going to be a 1 point game in either direction, which would turn up in their favor this week. I don't know. It's hard to pick against these Dolphins right now. I lean that way, but the Chargers, like you said, I don't want to say that they're due for some luck, but I mean, they seem like they're due for some luck. But I just think they are going to win a few games this season with how well Herbert's playing and the rest of the team. So I lean Dolphins, but I think you feel more strongly about it than I do. I'm not going to be best betting this.
Every week I say I don't bet Chargers games, and I also get to say every week, and last week shows you why I don't bet Chargers games. So that's all I have to say about that. The next game, the Raiders are at home against the Broncos. The Raiders are -4.5. The total here is 50. Mitch.
Yeah, so the Broncos, they let me down last week. I best bet them against the Falcons. I think I best bet them against the Falcons. I had them winning that game. Anyway, I think I'm going back to the well, though not as a best bet. I don't know. Something about these Raiders. I'm not ready to buy in fully. I know that they're 5-3, but they just feel like a hard team to make sense of. I don't think that they're just going to cruise to be 10-6 at the end of the year. You know, we all know that they're 5-3 with a negative point differential. Their three losses are to the Patriots, Bills, and Bucks, and Patriots aren't what we thought, but at the time, we thought they probably were. They beat the Chiefs, which was great. Then they laid an egg the following week. They, to me, just feel like another... They're a team where I'm wrong about the Raiders every single week. Denver's defense, they went through a stretch earlier this year where I thought they were playing better. They're still top 10 in D by DVOA. And the Broncos strike me as a team. They had all those injuries in the offseason and Von Miller right on the eve of the season and then early in the year. But it feels like they've stabilized a bit, whereas some other teams have had bigger losses during the season. So they strike me as a team that can hang around. And, 4.5 feels a little bit high for this. It's a division game. And so, I think Denver could win this game. I like them to be competitive. I'm not going to best bet them again, but I will definitely lean Broncos here.
Gary?
I got a bit of a Raiders lean on this one. The funny thing about the Raiders, usually when you see these teams that are like, oh, you know, they're two games above 500, but you know they don't rank very well in DVOA or some other efficiency stuff. Usually takeaways, turnover differential is the difference maker here. Raiders are -4 in turnover differential this year, so I don't necessarily think they're built to take the ball away, but. You know, you catch a couple of bounces here and there. They're no worse off than the Seahawks defense when it comes to sort of projecting takeaways. So that might be coming down the stretch. It also might be coming in a game like this against the Broncos, who are just so... I mean, Drew Locke hasn't showed up for the first three quarters of the last two games now, and he's brought teams back in the fourth quarter, and there's something to be said for that. But I think I'd rather have the guy who plays all four quarters and is a little more steady. So for that reason, and again, Broncos are banged up in that secondary. I think Jon Gruden... for all the gruff we give him, what's the word I'm looking for?
Gruff
for
works,
all of that, the guy can still coach. And if your team has a clear weakness on defense, I think the Raiders are capable of exploiting it. For that reason, I do like the Raiders in this one. I don't think they're necessarily blowing anyone out, but I have a pretty good Vegas lean here.
I like the under in this game a lot. 50.5 is a big number. You just said it. The Broncos really, they scramble for three quarters and then maybe, late in the game they try to put on some frantic comeback. The Raider offense not, blowing people out here. They're at home. You know, I could see this, 23-20, 27-17. I just think 50.5 is high for a Broncos offense that's not great. And a Raider offense that's been totally inconsistent all year. I like the under here a lot. The next game on the board for us is in Los Angeles. The Rams, a 1.5 favorite at home against the Seahawks. The total 54.5, Gary.
So I've been preaching against the Seahawks for like a year and a half now, and more often than not, it bites me. I mean, look, we're seeing the turnovers start to dry up, and that's why you're seeing a little bit of a regression. We're seeing the red zone performance can't carry them. They're not going to be historically, not just historically great, but just blowing the doors off of every red zone efficiency rate anyone has ever put up. So, again, if I could go back to this, my trusty red zone luck chart here, as far as point differential goes, if you take away, and this is red zone offense and red zone defense, if you factor that out, Rams are 8 right now, Seahawks are down at 15, and if you do believe in red zone performance, yes, the Seahawks have been great this year, but the Rams have actually been one of the better red zone defenses this season. And if you just go back over the last couple, even back to like Jeff Fisher era, the Rams defense has always given Russell Wilson fits. Quite frankly, it's probably the fact that Aaron Donald plays on that team, but they always contain the Seahawks. We saw the Rams just, you know, they hammered the Seahawks at home last year. In the first meeting on that Thursday night, they would have won that game in Seattle if Zuerlein didn't shank a late field goal. So I do like the Rams, but more than the side, I really like the under in this one. The Seahawks are, as we know, they're horrible defensively. I don't think the Rams, and we've talked about this a little bit on the show, I don't think the Rams are a team that's going to go out there and throw it 30 yards downfield and get all these big plays on the Seahawks defense like we've seen so many other teams do. I think they're going to stick to what they do, which is more of a methodical approach. And for that reason, I think you see sustained drives from the Rams. I think you see the Seahawks offense maybe held back a little bit, and you get a game that's more in the living more in the 20s than living in the 30s here.
Mitch.
I'm glad you went to Gary first because it's long established how he feels about the Seahawks, and I feel the opposite, and I feel like we do this every week where Gary runs through all the reasons to believe the Seahawks won't keep it up, and I enjoy just leaning in and saying I'm all in on these Seahawks.
I just want to say, Mitch, I best bet the Seahawks last week for the first time in forever, and look what they did to me. Just rude.
Yeah, and now you're falling for the trap because now you're going to jump off and then they're going to win.
Yeah, so here's and I like both these teams. I think they're both going to be playoff teams. I've really been impressed by the. I mean, I said the Seahawks were going to the Super Bowl before the season started, and the Rams I've been much more impressed by than I expected to, and have also said I don't know why I didn't expect this from them. I think they're good on both sides of the ball. They're well coached. They have talent. I like them. This line to me just feels like an overreaction to one bad game, and this happens all the time where. Sometimes a team just has a bad game, and I understand Gary will look at last week's game against the Bills and say, you know, this is a trend, and it was building to a game like this. But, you know, we've seen games like the first one that comes to mind is the Packers just getting blown out against Tampa, and even, like, San Francisco against Miami, even though San Francisco is banged up. But, like, sometimes this just happens, and teams often bounce back, and sometimes you just have a bad game. And, you know, everyone's remembering the Seahawks last week. The Rams, meanwhile, they're coming off a bye. And the last time we saw them was that ugly game against Miami, which was Tua's debut, and he didn't even play well. And they gave up a defensive touchdown and a special teams touchdown. So that's, you know, again, that's not to say the Rams are a bad team, and Miami has proven that they're pretty good. But I just look at these two teams, and I think Seattle's better. I think Seattle's going to win the NFC West. And I just think this line, the wrong team is favored here. You know, if this was a pick 'em, I would lean Seahawks, and just seeing them as underdogs by 1.5 just sort of like puts a glaring light on it that says, you know, Mitch, you have to defend the Seahawks' honor and you have to best bet them to win this. And, you know, I think they're the better team. I think they should be favored. I know they're playing on the road, but it's the same time zone and everything. And, you know, I like the Rams. I will best bet the Rams at some point later this season, but this week, give me Seattle.
I'm with Mitch. I like the Seahawks myself. I'm not going to jump off because of a loss there. And you know, Russell Wilson threw some horrifically terrible interceptions against Buffalo, but Seattle moved the ball on every single drive they had. You talk about the red zone offense. The Seahawks don't need red zone offense. They score long touchdowns all the time. Their touchdowns are always these long passes or these crazy runs. So I like the
moon
Seahawks.
Moon balls, I think. Is that what Chris Collinsworth calls it when Russell exactly. Wilson throws them, the moon balls?
Yeah. So, you know, that red zone stat there is a little null and void. And, you know, Gary touched on it. The Rams' offense is not built where they're going to keep up with, you know, if the Rams get in the 30s here. I mean, excuse me, if the Seahawks get the 30. So I like Seattle actually getting a point. You know, I think they win it outright. Next game is in New England. The Patriots, off that win against the Jets, host the Ravens. Baltimore is -7. Game is in New England, and the total is 43.5, Mitch.
Oh, this is fun. I like the Ravens here. We've waited so long for this. The Patriots just aren't very good, and I think they are still getting a bump because they're the Patriots. But, you know, they've lost 4 in a row. They needed a big comeback win to beat the Jets by 3. And I don't know. It's possible I'm feeling a little bit burned just because I did pick the Patriots to best bet the Jets, and that looks misguided now. But I don't know. The Ravens now, the storyline for them all week is about Lamar Jackson saying, like, defenses know what's coming and they're calling out their signals. I just think they're going to be motivated to put up a ton of points. And sometimes when there's a good team, they can play down to competition. And sometimes a good team is truly motivated to just get out there and, like, you know, make a game a laugher and put a storyline behind them. And I just, you know, I think the Ravens could easily have one of those kinds of games. John Harbaugh probably has a better track record against Bill Belichick than anyone else in the league. Looking, you know, obviously his record, I assume, is below 500 because the Patriots beat everybody, but he's beaten them a bunch in the regular season and in playoff games. I did think Baltimore had a nice bounce back last week. They had that close loss to the Steelers, and then they came and they beat the Colts by 2 touchdowns. Not that the Colts are anything special, as Jimmy and I have said on this podcast before, but they did shut him out in the second half last week. Everyone always talks about Lamar Jackson since he broke out, and for good reason, but Baltimore's defense is good too. So yeah, only a touchdown. I think the line would be bigger if this was a team at the Patriots talent level that wasn't the Patriots. So I do like Baltimore to cover.
Gary?
No, I really like Baltimore, too, and I'm just going to keep on talking about the red zone, probably for not only the rest of the show. I'm going to be talking to my family about the red zone. It's all I'm going to talk about for a while here. But the difference for the Ravens the last 2 weeks, number one, they played two of the top defenses of football, so everyone's saying, what's wrong with the offense? Well, they played the Steelers, and they played the Colts, so those are two of the top three defenses in football. On top of that, the difference in those games has been red zone performance. They had turnovers in the red zone in both games. This was a team that was second in red zone efficiency offensively last year. This year, they're down near the bottom of the league because of those turnovers. Again, if you take my time-tested formula of factoring out the red zone luck, the Chiefs are number one in the league right now in point differential. The Ravens are number two, and no one is even close to those teams. So the Ravens are an elite team, and I know, you know, we need stuff to fill our content hole at MMQB during the week, so that's why we don't do it, but other people do it. They wring their hands over what's wrong with Lamar, what's wrong with the Ravens. Nothing's that wrong with them. They're not at last year's level, but they're not that far off. They're going to be fine going forward. This is probably a game where they roll it up. Again, the one thing, even beyond the fact that they just were in a dogfight with the Jets last week, the Belichick comment about how they just don't have the talent that they usually have this year, that felt like a white flag to me. And I just think he has sort of come to terms with the fact that he's not going to be able to prepare for games the way he has in the past on, frankly, on the defensive side of the ball. And I just think this is one where the Ravens are going to outclass the Patriots. So I'm with you, Mitch.
Yeah, I mean, I lean Ravens. I mean, if the Patriots have to basically get down to the last play of the game to beat the Jets, I'm not sure what they're going to do against a competent, more than competent offense here against the Ravens. I don't see how the Patriots can keep up with the Ravens on the scoreboard. I just don't. And you're only laying a touchdown. I should say we did the Chargers-Miami game. I'm seeing tweets about the Dolphins now getting three players, two on defense, Kyle Van Noy, a couple other players on COVID list. So, you know, check that out before you make any wagers with what's going on here in the NFL. Next game, the Vikings are giving 3 points on the road in Chicago. The total is 43.5. Gary.
Man, this is I'm trying to figure out whether I want to buy into the Vikings or not. I really want to. My heart wants to buy in, but I'm not sure I fully buy in on what they've done the last couple of weeks. This game's, look, it's going to be ugly. And that's why I kind of want to back away from this one, because I think this is the type of game where Let's say the Bears get an early turnover, that completely turns this game on its head. If the Bears can play from ahead for once, they'll be fine. If the Bears can hang around and you know, if it comes down to Nick Foles having to put together one drive in the fourth quarter, this is the kind of game the Bears can win. So I'm backing away from this one. I think, like anyone, I don't feel good about the Bears, and I feel somewhat optimistic about the Vikings, but I think this one, division rivals, we've seen what the Bears defense has done to this Vikings offense at Soldier Field in the past. I don't know. I think it's going to be too ugly to actually project a winner in this one.
Mitch?
Too ugly. I was going to make an election joke when you said to project a winner, and then I decided I'm not going to do that, and then I said it anyway.
you got the worst of both. You didn't make the joke, and now you're going to have all these people stick to sports, Mitch.
Mm, terrible. No, that's fine. We've waded into that territory on this podcast before. I will dip my toe in the water on these Vikings a little bit more than you, Gary. I want to believe in them. I don't know why, but I'm there. But it also says a little bit about these Bears. That's part of the reason you're getting a team that is surging against a team that's fading. Dalvin Cook is incredible right now. I mean, just Jimmy, you want to talk about a team that can just score on any play? Just give the ball to Dalvin Cook and he can get in the end zone. And the other big thing, so I think that's what Mike Zimmer wants his offense to look like. And also, I think we've seen for his whole career that Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback when he has a good running game and they can do play action passing, and it's not his job to carry the team. He can just go be an above average quarterback. I think that just makes his job so much easier to have a guy like Dalvin Cook there. The Bears are fading. They've lost three straight games. They're against good teams, the Rams, Saints, Titans, but it's still, it's not, sometimes it's not just that you're losing, it's how you're losing. And we all know just the way they look on offense isn't good. The defense is good, but sometimes it just feels like a team is going south, and the Bears are sort of at that point in the season to me. And the Vikings, really, they ought to smell an opportunity here. People are looking at their schedule. If they can beat Chicago, then they've got Dallas next week. They could easily get back to 5-5. This just feels like a team that really has a lot to play for against a team that's scuffling. And I think they can win and cover here. I'm probably going to best bet the Vikings unless I become a chicken. The thing about this, it is primetime Kirk Cousins. Is this the Sunday night game? This is the Monday night game.
Monday night game,
yeah. I don't want to make too much of a thing, but I know people have historically made a thing. I best bet the Vikings, and then I'm watching Kirk Cousins in primetime, wondering how did my life get to this point? But I don't know. It's new Kirk. They won a playoff game last year. I think primetime Kirk can win. And I think the Vikings are going to be 5-5 in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I wanted to pick the Vikings badly, but I mean, Mitch hit on it. The Vikings right now are Dalvin Cook, and the one strength the Bears have is run defense. I want to pick the Vikings badly because they're only laying a field goal, and the Bears offense makes me want to puke, but you got a home game division, getting points at home. There's a lot there, in the Bears' favor. If they can somehow slow down Dalvin Cook, I think it's a game. But you don't know if that's going to happen. He's playing so well right now. It's crazy. But the Bears' run defense is pretty solid. So I can't go there on that one. All right. We're going to hit the lightning round here. These are games the three of us don't really have a strong feel for.
Shelby, let's hear it.
I think this is like the most that we've had this season.
Oh.
The sound effects are not really there yet. And we'll go through these quickly.
we'll get it in post.
Yeah, here we go.
Woo, you hear
the
that?
Packers are at home giving 13 to the Jaguars. The total here with the Jaguars somehow is 50. Mitch.
Yeah, it's a stay away, like you mentioned. This one's tricky. So the Packers have a little extra rest coming off Thursday night last week, but it's just such a weird situation where they've had guys out on the COVID list who they should have, some of them back this week, but who knows about practice time. Jaguars, again, Minshew's out. They're down to Jake Luton, and I will admit I did not watch the entire Jaguars-Texans game, but I did see he made a couple of nice throws, but the Jaguars are awful. But the spread's a little too high for me to pick the Packers to cover by 13. The Jags, the Packers are capable of blowing a team out, but I don't know. As bad as the Jaguars are, they have hung with a couple teams, including the last 2 weeks. It's been a while since they lost by 2 touchdowns, so, I want to pick the Packers, but I'm just a little bit afraid to do it given some of the circumstances.
Gary?
No, I backed off of it just because of the size of the line and the Luton factor. To be honest, I think the Packers are going to win this game by 20. I think Luton is on tape now. I think they'll be ready for him, and Packers win it going away. I'm just too much of a coward to best bet it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. If anything, I'd go on to here. I know the Packers' defense is not great, but that 50 with the Jags. Although you could really, I mean, this could be a 37-17 sort of romp here for the Packers. So yeah, it's a big stay away.
I was thinking about the under too, actually, because you're right. Like you need the Packers to score so many of those points if they're going to get to 50. It's almost like if you like the Packers to cover, take the Packers in the over or the Jags in the under. But
yeah,
I'm not.
Next
doing
game. Next game could be a good one. Bucks giving 5.5 on the road. Someone jumping off the Bucks bandwagon because of one loss, which is kind of crazy. But they're still 5.5-point favorites at Carolina. The total is 50.5, Gary.
I know, 5.5-point road favorite. I was ready to jump back on the Bucks bandwagon this week. I don't know what the deal is with the Saints and how they match up with them and how they just make Trey Hendrickson look like Reggie White every time they face the Saints. But I think the Bucks will bounce back. That number was just too big for me. I was hoping they'd be given like maybe 3.5 in this game instead of the 5.5. So I'll back away from this one.
Mitch.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. You know, I usually like teams to bounce back, and some of these lines sometimes overreact. Like I said about Seattle, I think, earlier today. But, man, it's hard. And now Christian McCaffrey's back out. He was back, and he was so good, and now they lose him again. You know, if the spread was, like, 7, I'd be tempted to take the Panthers, but this feels like it is, like, right at the right number. So, you know, I just don't like it.
Yeah, the 5.5 is tough, and you know Carolina's in every game. You know Matt Rule's done a great job there, so it's I think it's a dangerous line right there. The Lions giving 4.5 points at home to Washington. There was no total when I did a little prep work. Let me, even though we are live in the air, try to get you a total. But Detroit is 4.5-point favorites at home against Washington. Still no total, so we won't discuss that, Mitch.
Yeah, I'm wrong about the Lions every week. I don't like them. I don't like watching them. I don't like talking about them. I'm low on them, which often seems to prove itself out, but I've been burned before. You know, I lean Washington, but I don't even want to be involved on either side of this game. That's why it's in the lightning round.
Gary.
I'll just lean against Mitch, so I'll take Detroit.
Good answer.
Yeah, I have no feel whatsoever for this game, but just to stay away in betting and stay away from watching. That game is going to be one of the more entertaining games of the day. Arizona at home giving 2 to the Bills. Biggest total of the week here at 56. Gary.
Yeah, sorry. I'm going to blow up the lightning round just a little bit. I've been watching this Buda Baker injury report. He's missed 2 days of practice. Vance Joseph is saying he's going to play anyway. We'll see about that. But if Buda Baker's out, I don't know what answers the Cardinals have defensively, because even if you don't have a pass rush, the way you want to attack Josh Allen is you want to do a lot of disguise coverages. I don't know if they can do that with a bunch of backups playing in the secondary. So, yeah, I like Buffalo in this one. I'd like him a lot if Baker is going to miss this game, because I just I don't think they can stop this Bills offense unless Josh Allen just has a streaky bad day here. And as far as this Cardinals offense goes, I've been saying all year, it is quick strike. They do like one shot play a game and everything else is Kyler scrambles. I don't know if that's sustainable, and I think it's going to be easier for the Bills to prepare for at this point in the season, now that it's just been out there for half a season now. And I like the Bills a lot in this one, I guess, is my closing argument.
Mitch.
Well, I'm going to have the least fun possible take here, which is that I kind of lean to the under. I'm excited to watch this game.
Yeah.
And they're both teams that you look at them and you say, oh, they're going to put up points. This will be fun. But I don't know. So 56.5 just feels a little bit high. Looking at the Bills' schedule, in their games, they've gone over that number 4 times in 9 games, which is actually not as many as I would have thought, given how well Josh Allen has played in stretches and some of the issues we've talked about with their defense just not being as good as it was last season. And the Cardinals, we've talked about this a few times on this podcast, that they just haven't been going over that much, and they've been hitting unders a lot this season. their last two games are the only two times this year they've been over that 56.5 number. This is not a scientific way of doing it, but only six out of the 17 games between them have been over that number. It would be much more fun to bet the over and enjoy this game and enjoy every touchdown on the board, but I don't know. It's a close game back and forth. I could see either team winning, and for whatever reason, it just feels like the number's a little high, and I do lean under.
I disagree with Mitch. I lean over. I think it is a close game. I think you're going to get a defensive touchdown in this game. I think going to be turnovers. Field position will maybe get you in position. I wish I had the guts, because it's 56.5. It's a scary total. But, you know, the Bills defense, if you watched that game last week, you know, great win against the Seahawks, went up and down the field on every single possession. Bills ended up with some turnovers there. I think, you know, Gary, you know, Buda Baker is a big, big loss that could help Buffalo there even more on offense. I don't see many stops in this game, but the 56.5 is just so high. So
I mean, Buda Baker is their defense right now. Yeah. He is the only Chandler thing Jones keeping them from being like an Alliance of American Football caliber defense at this point. So
I think both teams here definitely in the, you know, I could see them both in the 30s here, but I don't know. Maybe I'll pull the trigger on Sunday. We'll see. The Saints are at home giving 9. Big number coming off that win against Tampa on Sunday night where they destroyed the Bucs. So they're giving 9 now to San Fran. The total is 49, Mitch.
Yeah, this, I'm sure it feels like we're all going to feel the same way about this. You know, I like the Saints. I lean them. I want to take them. 9 just feels a little bit high. Feels like a little bit of an overreaction to last week's blowout. They feel a little bit primed for, you know, come down back to earth. And the Niners, you know, they've hung on longer than I thought they would. Like, we talked all season, we knew that this stretch of their schedule was coming where, if you know, they could get out to a hot start and then survive some injuries, and then they just had this murderer's row week after week for like 7 or 8 weeks. And you know, now they're just like, they strike me as a desperate team. They play the Saints and the Rams on the road 2 weeks in a row, and it's like, if they don't win either of those games, you know, that might be it for them. They'd be 4-7. So it's like they have a lot to play for. So I like them to be competitive, but at the same time, everything points to the Saints being able to beat the Niners just because they're so banged up. So I'm staying away.
Gary?
Yeah, I have a slight Niners lean. You can't be too confident in them with all those backups in there. But, I mean, look, Kyle Shanahan gets things figured out most weeks. And if you think back to last year, They had to play at Baltimore and then at New Orleans back-to-back weeks. They went down to New Orleans, they started slow, and then they just they torched the Saints defense, came back and won that game. So obviously, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo was in that game, George Kittle had a big part in it, so for that reason, you kind of back off it. But I think the 49ers can hang around in this one.
Yeah, it's funny, I'm sort of combined what you two said, and that's how I feel. I want to lean Niners here because the line is so big, and I think, like Mitch said, the Saints maybe due for a little bit of a come down, but because of the Niners injury situation, I don't know how you can really evaluate them enough to sort of make a play, because they've, I mean, the team is just decimated. But I could see the Saints here, you know, maybe a little bit of a comeback here after what they've been doing recently. Last game on the board before we get to our bets, I think it's going to be a good one also at 4 o'clock. The Steelers are at home giving a touchdown to the Bengals. And Joe Burrow, the total here is 45.5, Gary.
Yeah, I'm backing off the Steelers for a little bit. My take on the Steelers right now is, yes, they are something of a fraudulent 8-0 team, but...
Wow.
I don't think I'm alone in that take. I think everyone's saying, you know, this is probably the you know, they're a top five team, but they're not the best team in football. They're one of the weaker 8-0 teams we've seen in the history of the league. And Steelers fans, you're still 8-0, so don't be upset.
If Shelby's sound effects were working, we could have the Bill Parcells "You Are What Your Record Says You Are" clip, but it's okay.
The one thing I'll say about the Steelers, there's clear room for improvement offensively. They don't have that downfield element consistently right now, but you saw it last week in Dallas. They were really close on a couple of deep shots. You know, one of them just went through Claypool's hands. Another one, there's a clear illegal contact penalty that went unflagged. I think there's a good chance that clicks in the second half of the season, and all of a sudden it's a better team than they were in the first half, even if they drop a game or two. So for that reason, I'm curious to see how they come out here in the second half. All that said, I'll back off of this one. I have a feeling the Steelers are going to win it comfortably by double digits, but I'll stay away from now.
Mitch?
Yeah, we'll see. The Steelers' defense is so good. And, you know, the biggest issue the Bengals have is protecting Joe Burrow, and oftentimes they ask him to throw the ball 50 times, and you've got to think the Steelers' pass rush is so good they're going to get to him, whether they blitz or not, and he could be in for a very long day, and, you know, if they force a big turnover or two, you know, a defensive score like they seem to have all the time, that could be enough. But the Bengals have been kind of hanging in, and the Steelers haven't been blowing people out. I don't know, of late, they don't have like double-digit wins. We talked about them having kind of a letdown, squeaking by the Cowboys last week. So I don't know. Originally, I looked at this line and I was like, I'm going to take the Steelers. I'm going to talk myself into it, and then I talked myself out of it so much that now I kind of lean Bengals. Ben Roethlisberger has had a weird week on the COVID list. We assume he's back and playing, right? Or maybe that's not even confirmed yet. But I know he's had meetings virtually, so that's just. Just an extra thing for so many teams to deal with, and obviously every team's dealing with that with different players, different positions. But with a quarterback, you would assume it's different, even though a guy like Roethlisberger, you know, he knows the offense. He's been there forever. You know, maybe a veteran's day off is good for him away from the practice field. But, you know, I don't know. Just a lot going on. For me, it's just to stay away.
I like the over in this one. I think the Bengals coming off a bye. Their offense is rolling. They've been doing 30 points a game against Tennessee, Cleveland, whoever they played the week before that, I think was another 30-point game for them. They're not winning all these games, but their offense is rolling. And I understand about the Steeler defense, but this could be a little bit of a coming out party here for Joey Burrow, because usually the Bengals are buried at 1 o'clock playing some nondescript team. He's going to have a lot of eyes on him. And, you know, for all the attention that Herbert is getting, Burrow is the real deal, and this could be sort of a little bit of a statement game here. They're coming off a bye, which I like, and you know, listen, the Steelers, they're going to have a clunker, not necessarily a loss. I mean, the clunker almost came, it came last week really at Dallas, but it could even get worse than that. You know, one of these weeks they're going to get picked off. Does it happen this week? I don't know, but I'll tell you, if you get Bengals plus 7 and then over 45.5, that could be the way to go. From a wagering standpoint. All right, that wraps up the list of games. We've gone through them all, and now we will run through our best bets. Mitch, kick it off. What do you got?
All right, I've got four road teams, as is often the case. Two underdogs, two favorites. Give me Texans plus 3.5 in Cleveland. Seahawks plus 1.5 at the Rams. And then Ravens minus 7 in New England, and the Vikings minus 3 in Chicago.
Gary?
The only one I really like is the under 54.5 in Seattle, Los Angeles. Seahawks, Rams. The other ones I'll go with, I will go the double on that. I'll go Rams minus 1.5 at home. I'll go head-to-head with Mitch on that one. We'll see what happens with the Kyle Van Noy, Christian Wilkins COVID situation in Miami, but I will go Miami minus 2.5 versus the Chargers, and just because I'm not crazy about that one, I'll throw in the Ravens minus 7 at New England.
Spoken like a true degenerate gambler. I came in with 3 and I added 1 in the last minute. I'm going to go over 44.
Spoken like a true degenerate gambler.
Exactly. Touche. I'm going to go over 44 Eagles Giants. I'm going to go under 50.5 Denver Las Vegas. Going against Gary, Seahawks plus 1.5, and give me the over 45.5 Bengals and Steelers. All right. Good luck to Mitch and Gary. Good luck to anyone listening with the wagers. Have a good week.
And watching on 10. YouTube, Jimmy.
Yes, and watching on YouTube. We will see you next week right here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Good luck with the wagers.